TSL Pass subscribers to our latest edition of TSL Audio. This week, we've got a little something interesting for you. We're talking to Mike Harris about a couple of topics. First one is we're going to discuss spring football. And then the second one is we're going to discuss a book that Mike is putting the wraps on that should be out in August called Game of My Life. Right, Mike?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, this is Mike Harris of the Richmond Times-Dispatch on with us. And Mike obviously goes way back with us. We've done radio shows with him. We've done appearances on his radio show in the past. And been buddies with Mike now for years, probably about 5 or 6 years. So appreciate you coming on, Mike, and welcome.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. Now, let's talk about spring football first. You are getting ready to head out to Blacksburg today, Wednesday, and so you're going to catch practices today and Friday, Saturday. What are your plans?
Just today and Friday. I've got to come back for some things on the weekend, but they scrimmage today, so I'll get to see some of what I want to see. I'm disappointed about missing Saturday because Frank promises he's going to have the quarterbacks live, and I really want to see that.
Yeah, and as you know, he didn't have them live last Saturday. Are they going to be live this afternoon?
He said no. He's going to go live Saturday, next Wednesday, and then in the spring game.
Right, okay. All right, so give us a breakdown on practices you've been to recently. You said you've been to three out of the last four?
Three out of the last four, and I got off to a slow start in spring practice because we're a little shorthanded at work, and I had to take some time out to cover some auto racing, but I feel a little more comfortable after seeing the last few. And you guys have written, and we've written, and all the papers have written, it's pretty obvious at this point, this is going to be a very, very strong defense in 2006. And that's great news for the Hokies, but it's not great news for a team that's trying to get an offense together. Because you really can't throttle your defense in spring practice and say, whoa, cool it.
Yeah.
And they're so far ahead of the offense that it's really taking time for the offense to get its legs.
Well, and to give you some example of how that handcuffs the offense, there was a story from last Saturday's scrimmage where, of course, the quarterbacks were wearing the yellow jerseys, and Corey Robertson, I think it was, broke through the middle of the line and was 4 steps away from Glennon, and the rest started blowing the whistle. You know, and that doesn't give the quarterback a chance to do anything.
No. And there were several times where Glennon looked right at the referee as if to say, hey, you got to give me 2 seconds. I know one of the officials from that scrimmage, he actually played at Richmond when I covered the University of Richmond, and he said they were told beforehand that we're going to get increasingly less tight on that as the scrimmages go by, but now that they're going to be very, very vigilant and to err on the early side. Now, today, I suspect they'll let them go a little later, and then Saturday it's late, but Frank's concerns are legitimate. That's an extremely good defensive line, an extremely inexperienced interior offensive line. Remember, Danny McGrath is not doing contact work.
That's right.
So your center and two guards have very limited experience. Ike Whitaker just got back. Greg Boone is already hurt. He can't take a chance on losing another quarterback.
Yeah, and then it'll be down to one, and we'll do the old thing. Who was it? There was it Brian Randall a couple of years ago that changed jerseys?
Changed jerseys.
Played for both teams.
And played for both teams and was alive, and we kind of kidded Frank. He said, you know, you're so protective of these quarterbacks, and they felt like the way Brian was developing, he needed the opportunity to show what he could do, so he felt it was a worthwhile risk that worked out for him.
Okay, that segues into a conversation about the quarterbacks. You know, give us your thoughts on the quarterbacks, because you and I talked a little bit last night prepping for this interview, and your take on the quarterbacks is that neither one of them is blowing you away. So, you know, what are your thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, I hate to be terribly critical of kids who really haven't gotten the chance to play yet, and I think both Glennon and Holt have potential to be pretty good, but I get the feeling that thought among the coaching staff is one of these guys has got to be ready to step forward and just basically slap us over the head and say, hey, I'm the man, I'm ready. And it doesn't happen. It's kind of stutter steps. One will look good and then regress. The other will look good and regress. Glennon goes in ahead. Holt ties them and takes a little lead. They go to last Wednesday scrimmage, and now Glennon slightly back on top. This is Holt's third spring practice. He has to get it by now. And quite frankly, I think he's a little too inconsistent for a guy who's been around that long.
So is that, you know, when you say you're waiting for a guy to step up, is consistency the biggest issue there?
That's exactly what they're looking for. A guy who is doing it play in and play out. Clearly has control of the offense, knows what he's doing. You want to say knows how to handle adversity, and that's the thing. That's why I'm a little hesitant to judge right now, because we haven't seen whether they can do that because the whistle's being blown too quickly, and that's why I think next week is key. But still, in just the little things, the passing drills, what they've been able to do, no one guy has taken control. Now, I'll give you an example. Grant Knoll's year, when the others were true freshmen, there was no question he was vastly superior, the man. The following year, when Randall had a year experience, there was no question he had caught him. Last spring, there was no question Marcus Vick was the man. I mean, the coaches have a lot more experience than you and I, but when a guy dominates, you and I can pick him out. And they need a quarterback to step forward so even the average fan can say, oh, yeah, no question. And it just hasn't happened yet.
Well, who is, let's ask the question that always gets asked, who is more physically gifted? Who throws a better ball and who runs better?
Corey Holt, no question.
Yeah.
Got a little bit better arm, I think. He's a little bit more mobile. The way somebody described it to me, which I thought was a very accurate description, Sean Glennon gives you a pretty steady line. He's a little more consistent, but not perfect. But let's say, for the sake of argument, his line is more consistent. It's not average. It's not excellent. It's somewhere in between. Corey Holt sometimes will hit that excellent mark, but boom, sometimes falls below that line. So if Sean is a straight line, Corey's going up and down and up and down, ahead of him, below him, ahead of him, below him, and that's what's driving him crazy. I think they'd really like, quite frankly, nobody's told me this, this is my speculation, I think they'd like to see him make that line a little higher than Glennon has it.
Right, yeah. Now I think the tendency of a lot of fans is to turn it into a black-white thing and say, well, you know, Corey Holt's the black quarterback and Sean Glennon's a white quarterback, so Holt is more athletic. But if you sit and you look at their measurables when they go through strength and conditioning testing, they're actually very similar. So, you know, how is it that if you've gotten a chance to see Corey, you know, run a little bit or move a little bit, how does his athleticism compare to somebody like Marcus? And, you know, how, is he really that far ahead of Glennon as far as being able to run with the football?
Not that far ahead, and he's not in the Marcus and Michael league or even Randall. Sean Glennon is not, yeah, you get, you know, the white guys, your stereotypical drop-back throw. Glennon doesn't fit that mold. He can move a little bit. He's not a slug out there, and he's got a very good arm. Holt is probably traditionally more of that kind of quarterback, drop-back and throw, but even those guys need to be able to get out of trouble. And I've just been a little more impressed with Holt on the move. But you make a very valid point. It's not, you know, Brian Randall, Marcus Vick would put both these guys to shame with their mobility.
Okay.
Neither is in that class.
Yeah, I thought it was important to get that out there and get it established because I think, you know, like I said, I think people are looking at Corey Holt and thinking he'll be as mobile as Randall or Vick, and that's not necessarily the case.
Not at all.
A lot of that has to do with the fact that he's 6'4 or 6'5, right?
Right. 6'4, I believe, and he looks more solid. I don't know what they're weighing him in at now, but you can tell he's done some work in the weight room, as is Glennon. Glennon is a good-looking physical specimen, and I think if he keeps that line, if he gets to where that line really is straight across, they'd be very comfortable with him.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the all-ACC quarterback, but you don't have to have an all-ACC quarterback to win games.
Yep, I agree. All right, let's move on to some things. You know, one of the things that's going on, and there are a couple of things that are interrelated. You know, everybody likes to talk about the offensive line, but, you know, one of the – if last year, Mike, you know, you look at tight ends versus fullbacks, it wasn't a difficult decision to go to a two tight end set, a little bit more single back and not use the fullbacks as much. Now, evaluating the tight ends, tailbacks, and fullbacks, it's hard to figure out, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to go with the two tight end set? Are they going to use the fullback more this year? You know, what are your thoughts there at this point, and what is your evaluation of the tight ends in particular?
Well, when I first heard the news about John Kinzer probably not being able to play anymore, my first thought was, you know, they're going to go back to the fullback and use the fullback almost exclusively. They don't have an experienced tight end in the program beyond Dwayne Brown, who's not a tight end anymore. But the last few practices I've seen, I'm changing my thinking a little bit. You know, one of the things I do every spring, it's kind of funny, is try to figure out who the new guys are and get their numbers straight. You know, and Josh Morgan messes me up by going to two, but that's another story. So I finally get in my head, Wheeler 83, Wang 85, Wheeler 83, Wang 85, and I'm at practice last week, and Wheeler makes a couple really nice catches over the middle and shows good speed. And then in the scrimmage, probably the best and most impressive play was made by Ed Wang. He catches the ball, and he's coming around the end, and he makes contact. I'm pretty sure it was Cheeseman.
I think it was Cheeseman, yeah.
That's another guy whose number I'm trying to learn, 27, Cheeseman. Anyway, you hear the boom and you and the ah from the people who are there at the supposedly closed scrimmage that has a lot of fans there. Anyway, you hear the contact and you look up and it's the defender on the ground and Wang's still moving. He probably got another 8 yards out of that. He had a couple nice catches, so I'm starting to think this tight end thing may not be as bad as people think. Those guys have been real impressive. If Jesse Allen is more experienced, he's a good blocker. I'm not sure they trust him too much carrying the ball, but Doug Uzlik hardly ever carried the ball, too. So I think you'll see more fullback than you saw the past couple years, but still primarily two tight ends.
Yeah. You know, a couple thoughts there. You mentioned Uzlik. Uzlik was, he didn't carry the ball a lot, but he was just a more fluid receiver and runner than Jesse Allen is, I think, particularly at this point. Now, the feedback I've been getting on the tight ends is that, you know, although you've seen them and been impressed with both of them, the feedback I'm getting is that Wang isn't really a receiving tight end, that when it comes to running patterns down the field, he's just not, it's kind of hard to explain. He doesn't have a tight gait to him. He's not real smooth in running, so, you know, he might not be as good a receiving tight end. And one of the things I'm hearing is that they really want Andre Smith, the tight end recruit who's coming in next fall, to be ready to play, that they want to give him a try because they're not real thrilled with Wang from a receiving standpoint.
Well, I think they'll definitely take a look at all their options, and Smith will get a good look. Now, that's a valid point because the catches I saw Wheeler make last week were downfield over the middle.
Exactly.
Wang caught them closer to the line and then made his yardage afterwards.
Yeah, and that's what you just described to me was a quick short pass that he turned into a gain.
But when they used two last year, I mean, King had three times as many catches as Kinzer. So if they have one guy they can count on to get downfield and another guy who's an excellent blocker that they can throw to as kind of a safety valve, I think they'll be comfortable with that. And Wang's never played. He's a work in progress, but I think he can help.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how all that stuff plays out, you know, the interplay between the tight ends and the tight ends and the fullbacks. And that's good stuff. So let's move on talking about the defense. You're real impressed with the defense. It's obvious they're pretty well set at defensive end and linebacker and defensive back, barring injuries. What's your take on what you've seen from the tackles so far?
Well, you know, I think Barry Booker, Robertson, and Powell are going to make a real good rotation in there. I think the only thing holding them back in Barry Booker last year was the fact that Jonathan Lewis was still in town. This guy is really, really good, and that's been part of the problem with the offensive line is not so much they're not capable, but you've got inexperienced guards and centers going against interior guys like that who know what they're doing, and this is clearly their time. I think those three guys are going to make their mark this year in some form or fashion. Charlie Wiles likes having a rotation. Now, he's going to have four ends he can count on and at least three tackles, maybe more, and I think that line is going to be very, very good. You know, we know what the inside linebackers are capable of. The guy who stood out to me is Brendan Hill, who looks to be the clear winner of the outside linebackers.
Yeah, that's a real surprise because Hill, you know, Hill was Marcus Vick's passing and receiving buddy back in high school.
Right, and also he is getting trouble buddy, unfortunately. But if you told me the other day, and I talked to him for the first time at length, and you can tell when you interview a kid whether he's gotten it. And the maturity meter seems to have kicked in. He said everybody has to grow up sometime. It's funny, I wanted to interview him the day before, but he and Clowney and a couple of the others were on a class-sponsored field trip to Charlotte for some sort of convention they attended. So Brendan Hill came out to practice wearing a shirt and tie. He had just gotten back. He wanted to see how far along they were, should he go change. And he looked like a young businessman. They went in and changed and came out on the field. And as Jim Cavanaugh said, you know, it happens to different guys at different times, but usually the fifth-year seniors realize, wow, it's now or never. And I think Brendan Hill has realized that he's got to get it done now. And I think, you know, James Anderson, he didn't have the trouble earlier in his career, but he kind of floundered a couple of positions, got established on special teams, and then stepped into that job and did a great job for 2 years. And I suspect, you know, Hill's not going to be the star like a Tebian Hall, but I think he's going to hold his own there.
See, that'd be great because that's a void they definitely need to fill.
And they can keep Aaron Rouse at Rover where he's become very comfortable and very good.
And it doesn't appear that their other option, Corey Gordon, is really stepping up.
I think they're comfortable with him in a backup role. They just don't feel like he's going to be an every down kind of guy. And I don't know what's missing. Some guys are like that. Brandon Gore on the offensive line is a guy who they like but just have never felt comfortable playing every down. And I think Corey Gordon's in that mold. Good football player, but there's going to be somebody a little bit better.
Yeah, you mentioned James Anderson, and the parallels between Hill and Anderson are that, you know, Anderson really struggled with inside linebacker, then he was stellar on special teams, and his ability to tackle in space is what led them to try him at whip linebacker. And, you know, Hill's in the same situation. He was kind of a guy just milling around with no particular position. Then he really stood out on special teams. He made a lot of plays on special teams last year. And I think that's probably what triggered him to say, hey, let's move this guy to whip and see what we can do with him there.
Yeah, and it's worked out very well. I know Anderson, they just thought he was going to grow when he never quite got to that inside linebacker size. But he had some gifts and found a home. And, you know, good for Brendan Hill. I mean, young people make mistakes. It's what they do afterward, and he seems to have learned from his mistakes. And I was very impressed when I interviewed him. I was like, wow, you know, it's not what you expect based on what you heard about Brendan Hill earlier in his career, and it looks like he's finally gotten it, so good for him.
Yeah, good. Let's go back to Corey Robertson. You know, we've heard the line on Corey so often. He's such a gifted athlete. I remember seeing his high school film, and great footwork for a big guy, good strength, terrible technique. Of course, that was high school, so you know, you don't criticize guys who have bad technique in high school when they can physically dominate other players. And we all want to believe that it's different for Corey Robertson, that the light bulb's finally going on, that he's going to be consistent, that he's going to keep himself low, drive with his shoulders, and not stand up when the ball is snapped. So, you know, what's the feedback there? What is everybody seeing that's different? And is this just another tease, or is the kid really going to elevate his game?
Well, you never know. You never know till the gun goes off. Right now, he's playing against a guard who has precious little experience. So it's hard to tell if he's really gotten it, but it looks like he has. You know, I've heard it now pretty much ever since he enrolled, man, this guy is going to be the one. He can really make our football team player better by playing better. We'll see when it gets more serious. It seems to be the case, but again, it's very hard to judge based on who he's going against at this point. You know, you've got Marshman, you've got Schumann, you've got Redner working on the interior line, and they just are not experienced enough to handle that line yet. So we'll see, but you're right. This is the guy they think can be the key to the whole thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, appreciate the feedback on spring practice there, Mike. And the next part of the interview, we'll be about your book. So, you know, we'll take a break right here, and when we come back, we'll talk about that.